Hey, it's Brent Porsche from 93.3 WMMR, bringing you complete concert coverage from one of the biggest and best, in my opinion, summer rock tours out there, featuring the great Five Finger Death Punch, Breaking Benjamin, Nothing More, and Bad Wolves. And I'm currently on the tour bus as we're moving here in Camden.
Moving and grooving.
At the BB&T Pavilion in beautiful tropical downtown Camden, New Jersey. And joining me now is a gentleman that is a true rock soldier. From Divine Heresy to Snot to Westfield Massacre to Five Finger Death Punch, this dude has an amazing range, has an amazing talent, and will be on full display later on this evening with his band Bad Wolves as they bring their highly anticipated live show to the Philadelphia area, touring in support of their 11-7 debut album, Disobey. It is my pleasure to introduce to you the lead vocalist from the band Bad Wolves, Mr. Tommy Vext. Hello, sir.
Oh, my God, that's so much to live up to now. I think I'm going to have performance anxiety going on stage. Jeez.
Well, I got to tell you, man, when I was looking you up, and I mean, I've heard of you before and I've heard your stuff before, I'm just like, holy ish, this dude has lived a life and a half and then some already up to this point.
Basically, I'm old. No, I've been in band since I was 13 years old. Was started my first band. I started playing gigs in New York City at CBGB's and the Continental and stuff at 14 with a fake ID. So
wow,
I've been around for a while.
How about Philadelphia? I know.
Yeah, Trocadero opened up for Candiria here in 2001.
As far as Bad Wolves is concerned, this is your Philly debut. Even though I guess Camden at this point.
Yeah. It's the Philly debut, but I've been through here with Divine Heresy and Snot. We played at Electric Factory with Snot, with Mudvayne 10 years ago, and at Trocadero with Chimera when I was in Divine Heresy about 12 years ago. I don't know.
Venture around and check out the city? Have any memorable moments off the top of your head other than the venues themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I was doing a band called Vexed in like 2011 or 12, and we played a show. I can't remember the name of the venue, but it was like down on the strip. What the hell is that?
TLA, South Street.
That's right, yep. Yeah, South Street. And Philly's like, you know, it's so close to New York. It's kind of got that like a great vibe. And I've seen Lamb of God here, like pre-Killadelphia.
Sure.
Like, I've seen, you know, Doc from Bad Wolves isn't from God Forbid, which is from Jersey. So I've seen those shows out here. Like Philly is like it was a quick train stop for all the diehard hardcore New York metal fans. So
yeah.
Like, yeah, we'll just go over there. It'll be easier to get in because there's no record labels on the list.
Where are you from originally?
South Brooklyn.
South Brooklyn. Okay, yes, cool. When did you get into music? You said 14. Was that the first?
1995, 96.
Okay.
I saw Pantera in the Trendkill tour, and it was too late. It was a wrap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they're childhood idols, or who are some of your childhood idols?
Well, I mean, I grew up listening to bands like Korn and Deftones, and one of my favorite bands from 97 was Snot, and I, you know, later on I wound up singing for their reunion tours and stuff, and I just saw all the guys and Lynn's family, the original singer, who passed away in Irvine. They all came out, and so it was really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
First band you formed way back when?
Dogs of War.
Dogs of War?
Yeah, but the name was taken, I think. And then so then the same lineup changed to Maniacal Disciple.
Okay.
We're like, this is the name, guys. It's super catchy.
Yeah. What was
Not at all.
One of the craziest venues you played prior to Bad Wolves, you know, whether it be venue or lineup or, you know, the audience or something, just one of those crazy shows where you're playing like a farm show complex somewhere, you know, looking at a bunch of people standing there in overalls and they're pigs. I don't know, man.
I mean, like, when I was a kid, I think, like, we used to open up for bands like E-Town Concrete and I think Hatebreed before they were on Victory and Biohazard. Like, those were all, like, super, like, memorable childhood moments. But as an adult, I think, like, one of the greatest shows I ever played was Snot at the Key Club. And I had a really life moment last year when I sang for Five Finger in Tilburg when Ivan was taking a hiatus. So it was just, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with music because I'm like, I can't stop doing it, but it's taken a lot away from me because I'm obsessed with it. So I've lost a lot of things like in my life till I got a little older to music because I chose it first. So, you know, it's being able to be out here and everything that's happening is kind of vindicates all the sacrifice of over 20 years. You know, people are like, Bad Wolves, overnight sensation. I'm like, oh, yeah, overnight, sick. Cool.
So in a way, sold your soul to rock and roll, but, you know, sort of, give or take.
If one has a soul to sell.
So fast forward to just last year in the formation of what is now Bad Wolves. Tell us a little bit more about how the band came to fruition and who you're bringing along with you.
Well, John started the band a couple years ago, and he was recording. And then basically John and Chris started jamming, and then he got really serious and just recorded, 13 songs. And so there were all these instrumentals. At that time, I was in Westfield Massacre, and in Westfield Massacre, it was my studio project, where I basically hired Bill Hudson from Trans-Siberian Orchestra and Tim from Divine Heresy and Chris Norris from Darkest Hour, and then Doc and Kyle played bass on the record. So nobody in the band actually played on the Westfield, and so we were gonna write another record, and Bill was busy. So I asked John, who was managing us at the time, if he had any B-side songs. So he sent me Learn to Live, because he was like, yeah, I got this song. It's kind of heavy, but it's like, I'm not really feeling it. And I was like, you're not feeling this song? Okay. And I went in the studio and sent it to him a couple hours later, and he's like, oh my God.
And that ended up being the first single, right, off the record?
Yeah, and then he sent me 5 songs, and I recorded 4 songs in 4 days. And we just kept the ball rolling, and ultimately I think we wrote 20 songs for the first album, and just getting the process together and having more band members come in and everybody contributing, and it just kind of turned into what it turned into.
Well, Learn to Live was first, and then Toast to the Ghost, that was number 2 before Cranberries, that song came out.
Yeah.
You would say that the Cranberry something kind of thrust you into the spotlight and kind of got you a little bit more notoriety, even though you said you've been out for a little bit.
I mean, it's like, you know, the band didn't have the record didn't come out till mid-May, and the Cranberry song was supposed to be a duet with Dolores. And so, you know, because of the circumstances of her passing so suddenly, and what we wanted to do for her family, it kind of took the forefront. So it wound up, you know, when we decided we would release it and donate the proceeds to her children, it was like, well, we're not gonna wait till the album comes out, we should just put this out now so people can grasp it, and we can kind of get the ball rolling on our mission statement, kind of, which is I think it's important to note, in that whole situation, you know, as much as fans and other artists were so devastated by her loss, it's you can never really measure that to the loss of a mother to a child, you know.
So sure,
that was kind of, you know, how that came out, to wound up coming out as the first single.
Did she record anything with you guys prior to her passing, or was she supposed to record the day of that she was coming in?
She passed away the day of.
Okay.
Yeah, the morning of. So
I gotcha.
So we never got to hear it, unfortunately, and you know, and it's been an emotional roller coaster.
I think we're driving over to Philly now from Camden. What do you think?
Sick. I don't know. Take me away, Calgon.
We're going way further than we should be. My next interview is not going to be happy about that. So I don't know if you saw this list or not, but Billboard, they just released a list of the highest-selling rock albums and songs so far in 2018, and Bad Wolves is on a bunch of these lists. Have you seen them?
I have not. No.
One of them here is the 2018 mid-year top 10 selling digital rock songs, and right now Bad Wolves' Zombie is coming in at number 3 on this list.
Oh, wow.
Behind the first two are Imagine Dragons. The other one here is 2018's mid-year top 10 on-demand rock song streams. And you guys fall. It's number 9 on here. You're tied with Skillet and Monster for 85,529,000 streams. That sound about right?
I don't really count.
Yeah, and then there's one more here. It says 2018's mid-year top 10 on-demand rock video streams, and Bad Wolves is number 7 with 50,085,000 streams on there. So you're on a few of these lists here, man. Pretty
That's
cool.
A bunch. That's a bunch. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, the Zombie went platinum, so we're actually getting a platinum plaque today.
Nice.
It's almost double platinum in Canada. I think it's platinum in Australia as well.
Well, when I was doing the research for this interview, I was watching the video, and at one point, a few days ago, I think it was 115 million views or something like that. And just yesterday I checked, it's up to almost 125 million views on YouTube now for that song. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it also, the fact that we're on such a massive tour, you know what I mean? It's definitely drawing other eyes on it. I think, people who had, some kind of, who lived in a hole and didn't know were like, oh, wait. You know, sometimes people come to the show and we're first of four, and we end with Zombie, and they're like, oh, that's the band, you know, and right. then they go look it up or download it. So that's it's cool. It's, you know, it's really been a really amazing thing, like a testament to the rock community, that people know that this is something that we're doing that's a charitable thing, and yeah. how people are so behind it, especially in an industry where, like, a lot of the pop side of things, because we've had so much attention, you know, the pop kind of press thinks we're metal and rock are dead, and it's like, it's clearly not.
Right.
You just don't cover it.
Damn you, Gene Simmons.
Yeah, well.
Right. Did you like working with Wayne Isham on the video?
Yeah, Wayne's a genius.
Yeah, he's one of the legends.
It's been a childhood dream, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I remember him doing, you know, like, Far Beyond Driven, you know, the behind the scenes of 5 Minutes Alone. And,
sure.
And obviously Enter Sandman, you know, and like Motley Crue, and like, dude, you know.
Yeah, right.
So when they told us who was going to do the video, like, I was like, nah, lies. I was like, you guys are lying. No way. And then we wound up doing 2 videos with them. So
super bad. That's awesome. Yeah. So let's switch gears a little bit here and talk about your motivational speaking. You are a sober coach, a life coach. You work with high-end clients. You tour with your clients as well. You are about as hands-on as it gets when it comes to that. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah. Well, obviously, the nature of my work is based in anonymity, so I would never disclose my clients. But yeah, like, I mean, obviously this year I have not been able to sober coach anybody because the band is constantly touring. We're touring almost 10 months this year straight. So, but yeah, normally my job consists of all different kinds of things, from 12-step group integration to relapse prevention and defining and addressing triggers and, just all around kind of curtailed support network for professionals who are struggling with addiction and alcoholism but cannot stop going to work or go to rehab, either because they're too much in the public spotlight or because they're busy. So
sure.
There have been artists over the past 5 years, that recording artists that I will either live with or go on tour with, athletes, actors, things of that nature, and then just sometimes regular, just people who need help, you know. So that's like kind of become my job, but I think what I'm most passionate about is the kind of work that I do for free with people that just, you know, need help. They can't afford anything, and just
sure.
you know, because it's more of a, it's all good. It's all good. I've been very blessed in my life to take what happened in my life and turn it around and use it to kind of help other people, and so it helps me heal too. It's a
well,
good thing.
As a result, 1 month from today, you're going to be honored with the 3rd annual Rock to Recovery Award for what is the exact award that you're getting here?
I think it's a service award.
Yeah. And previous recipients was Corey Taylor from Stone Sour, Wayne Kramer, MC5, Mike Ness from Social D,
yeah,
and now
yeah.
you. They've only been doing this a few years now, and you're the man.
Yeah, I'm here. Here I am. So I think, it, you know, it's like, well, it's interesting because I've been doing the sober work longer than my musical projects had attention. So it's kind of was a weird, an interesting juxtaposition. So maybe I'm more qualified for that than the other way around. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, it's like, it's, you know, Rock to Recovery is a really, really amazing nonprofit organization. And they teach music therapy. And it started by Wes Geer, ex head PA in Korn, and Sonny Mayo, ex Snot and Seven Dust, who is actually the guy who brought me in and helped me get sober when
right.
I was hitting rock bottom. So it holds a lot of weight, and there's going to be, you know, I go to these every year. They always have these amazing, you never know who's going to show up. Like, I've been there, and Chester Bennington and Fred Durst show up, and the, you know, or the Stone Temple Pilots will play. And
sure.
You're like, what, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so there are always rumors, isn't, you know. You never know if Slash is going to come and show up. So buy your tickets. It's a good cause.
So last year at this time, you were fronting Five Finger, roughly
no.
around this time?
No, I mean, I only was in for eight. I did
but,
like
I
eight shows
for those
in
handful
Europe.
Of shows.
Yeah, yeah.
So this May. Year, you're supporting a number one song in Bad Wolves and Zombie. Where do you want to be this time next year?
Oh, I just take it a day at a time. I'm like, you know, I just, I'm just literally doing today, you know?
Right.
I hope that we can, you know, we just announced a European tour, Then we're going to come back and do more touring in the States with Breaking Benjamin and Five Finger and From Ashes to New. Then we go to Canada with 3 Days Grace. And then I'm hoping we can go to Australia in February. My girlfriend lives in Australia.
Nice.
We actually just became boyfriend and girlfriend. So
sweet.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So, thanks. It's it's called making love because you got to make it work.
That's right.
But she is she's great. She's a source of happiness. And I'm like supposed to be like big scary tattooed guy, and I'm always like, rrr.
Like it's, I said, the skull underneath your eye there is even smiling at the moment.
Yeah. It's a happy skull.
Yeah, right. So I can't forget to mention that we're going to see you guys back through the area in just a few weeks. You're going to be playing the Queen down in Wilmington, Delaware, which is not
That's
too
right.
far from here.
Is
awesome.
That like an hour away or something?
From here?
2 hours?
No, I would say an hour.
Oh, that's
that.
Yeah.
Probably even less than that, depending on traffic, but yeah, it's not
cool.
that far. But it's you guys, along with Nothing More, once again, and you're bringing I Set to Kill out with you as well. That's going to be killer.
Yeah, they're awesome. We've been doing, like, shows here. Like, we have off shows with I Set to Kill opening up, and, I remember them from L.A. They've been at it for a couple years, and they do a really cool Black Hole Sun cover, and, they're just badass. They're, like, they're, like, a female-fronted band, and, and it's just they just kick ass. They're, like, super great vibes, and they will like really work the stage. So if you get there, if you come out to the show,
sure,
arrive early.
Absolutely.
And if you're coming to see us, arrive early, because we're on at 6 o'clock and some of the tickets say 7 o'clock.
They do. The ones we were giving away said 7 o'clock on them, but I made sure to let everybody know to get in there early because you guys absolutely rip.
Well, Live Nation doesn't care about us yet. They're going to care soon.
Well, the show coming back to the Queen is going to be September 5th. WMMR.com or BadWolvesNation.com for some more information. Really looking forward to seeing you guys this afternoon,
man.
I've seen the videos, I've heard the songs, and I'm really looking for the live show is what really gets me, and I'm stoked for it.
It's a party. It's for sure going to be a party.
Awesome. Well, wishing you continued success on the rest of your tour beyond, and make sure you stop by MMR. Anytime you're in the Philadelphia area, you want to stop by the station, man, we'd love to have you there.
Let's do it. We'll roll up next time. It'll be fun.
Excellent. Once again, from the band Bad Wolves, Mr. Tommy Vex. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Real quick before we before I let you go, I don't even know where the fuck we're going.
Dude, where the fuck are we?
We're driving in a circle. Well, they're behind us.
Perfect. Yeah,
so
that's
we're
what
all
they
driving
said.
In a circle.
Yeah, that's what they said. They
just
wanted.
The two down at the bottom there. If you don't
Whenever you're ready.
Yep, go for it.
Hey, what's up? This is Tommy from Bad Wolves, and you are rocking the Red Eye Jedi Brent Porsche on 93.3 WMMR Philadelphia. I like my radio voice. It's really intense. Hey, this is Tommy Vex from Bad Wolves, and you are listening to Pierre Robert Robert on 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Okay, so instead of Robert, say Robert. That's what the there. So Pierre Robert.
Oh, Pierre Robert.
Yeah.
What's going on? This is Tommy Vex from Bad Wolves, and you're listening to Pierre Robert on 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Thank you so much.
Love it.
The Target radio voice.